Amen. Let's go ahead and get started. We'll start off with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for this is the day that you have made. We thank you right now, Lord God, that we're walking under apostolic authority. We're walking, Lord God, hallelujah, praise God, as you have designed the church to walk in, Lord God, to walk in divine order. And we thank you, Lord God, that honor is a pivotal part of us, Lord God, walking in that divine order. And as we walk in honor, Lord God, we're going to see the blessings of God profusely abound in our lives. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for our apostle. Thank you for this school, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing by your Spirit. And I just thank you, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit will show up and show out in this class. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to talk today about how to build honor. We're going to be looking at things that honor does in your life, that and how one person, because they were more honorable, God granted their requests. Honor grows generations. When you walk in honor, your generations or your legacy or your lineage will grow, because honor will breed promotion. Honor will breed advancement. Honor will breed blessing. Because it all through the Bible, those people who walked in honor, they were highly exalted. They were blessed. They were highly favored. Why? Because they walked in honor. So honor grows generations. So when you show honor and sow the seed of honor, your generations are empowered to prosper. Your seed will be mighty upon the earth when you operate in sow honor. When you sow dishonor, the generation or your seed will be cut off. When you sow dishonor, your seed, your lineage, your legacy will be cut off when you sow dishonor. Absalom was a good example of somebody sowing dishonor to his father David, and he had no offspring. He had no legacy because of dishonor. We're going to get into that probably more next semester. But when a person walks in dishonor, their generations will be cut off. That's those coming behind them. They're going to be cut off and they're going to be unproductive, you know, and they're not going to produce fruit and they're not going to grow. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 2, as the bird by wandering and as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. There's always a reason for a legacy or a generation to be cut off, because the curse doesn't come without a cause. There's always a reason why a family or lineage seem to not prosper, seems to not grow. There's always a reason. One of the pivotal reasons for that is dishonor was displayed somewhere down the line, and the fruits of that cut off the legacy. There's always a reason why generations of a person's legacy is cut off and fall under curse. Honor grows generations of blessings upon your legacy. Dishonor will castrate your destiny. When you castrate something, you cut it off. Dishonor will castrate a person or lineage. When a generational destiny is castrated, it will not produce. It will not produce. It becomes null and void, and it'll just stop and die. And whatever you do in life, you want to leave a legacy for your children and for your children's children. You want to leave a lineage, something that they can build upon and grow. And honor will produce that. Honor produces it. But dishonor castrates it and cuts it aside. Anytime a person sows dishonor, a dishonor seed against their legacy, their inheritance from their spirit, they show dishonor towards, say, a spiritual father or a natural father or natural parents, their ability to produce the future is cut off. But honor will grow it, but dishonor will cut it off. Sometimes we have people in ministry And that's why it's so very important as a young minister or a young person who's serving in ministry to learn how to walk in honor towards those who are in authority, towards the elders, towards the pastor, spiritual father, apostles and prophets, because the word that come out of their mouth is prophetic to the point of producing blessings upon you. But when you open your mouth and say perverse things or foul things or disrespect and dishonor the apostolic, you can't help but see the downfall and the decay of your life, your ministry, and your family. And all through the Bible, we see that happening to people. But there was one person, and we're going to talk about him today, who was more honorable than his brethren. And because of that, God granted him what he requested it. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And that's also just kind of following in your book. It's somewhere around, maybe around page 80, 79, somewhere in that area. But we're going to be talking about Jabez. It says that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Now, to be more honorable, that doesn't mean that his brethren was not honorable, but what it does mean that he was more honorable. In other words, he put forth more effort to show honor to his mother. We're going to read the whole scripture than his brothers did. And because of that, God granted him what he requested. It says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez because I bear him or bore him in sorrow. And even though Jabez was born in sorrow or hurt or pain, suffering, maybe born into poverty, and maybe, you know, he caused his mother much pain. But irregardless of the fact, Jabez didn't take his present situation to be his final state. And that's one of the things we have to recognize. Just because we might have been born into a family or born into a certain position, that doesn't mean we got to stay there. But because what happens is, as you honor and thank God for what he's, you know, for what you got and for the parents or the people that nurtured you, now that honor is going to propel you to where now God is going to begin to bless you because you sowed seeds of honor instead of dishonor. Verse 10 says, and Jabez called upon the Lord God of Israel. So the first thing he did, he called upon the Lord God of Israel. Jabez actually did six things. He called upon the Lord God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be upon me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me. And the Lord granted him that which he requested. So the first thing Jabez did in verse number 9 was that he was more honorable. So the key here is he being honorable. And because, you know, you got to kind of look at it. His mother bore him in sorrow. You know, the author said he might have lived in the slums. He might have had a way less than perfect life. But he didn't ditch his mother. He didn't disrespect his mother. Whatever she gave him, he respected it and he welcomed it and he honored her. He waited upon her. He did whatever he could to make her comfortable. He had to. I mean, because how else would have God now answered his request? So, you know, getting back to one of the aspects of honor, honoring your parents. Here we see how because of Jabez being more honorable to his mother who bore him in sorrow, when he prayed, God got his ear, or he got the ear of God. And he says, Jabez called upon the Lord God of Israel. And the first thing, you know, first he called, then he said that thou wouldest bless me indeed. In other words, Lord, I thank you that I know that you are God that is more than enough. And I know that's your will for me to prosper. Lord, that you would bless me indeed. You know, that should be one of our prayers. Lord, I thank you that I'll never be broke another day in my life. You know, one thing I learned from my wife, we never, you know, she'll never pass a bank, any bank. It don't matter whether or not it's our bank or your bank or somebody else's bank. And she'll speak to the money in that bank and say, you know, that money thou art loose, I'll never be broke another day in my life. The money just keep on coming, because that's what the money is in the bank, right? So you speak to the money that's in the bank, because some sinner's money or used to be his money belongs to you. And so it got to the point now when I pass a bank, I'm speaking to it, you know, because that's where the money at. So the thing that we need, which is really the elementary thing of the anointing, is money. And so we got to call it in. But here Jabez says that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. In other words, enlarging my coast means expand my territory, you know, that I might have land and houses, you know, and cattle and horses, you know, men servants and maid servants, enlarge my coast. In other words, expand my territory, you know, not just a 80 by 140 lot, but thousands of acres. Lord, enlarge, you know, our desire should be that our coast be enlarged. If you're not looking for larger coasts, well, then, you know, you're settling for less than what God has already provided for us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We hear Jabez says, enlarge my coasts. And then he says that thy hand might be on me. Now, that's very important. He said that your hand would be on me. In other words, that when the hand of the Lord is upon somebody, they're able to do exploits. When God's hand is upon you, it's his ability empowering you to do the supernatural. One of the things you want is the hand of the Lord upon you. You know, when the prophets of old would speak, they would say, the hand of the Lord was on me on the Lord's day. And then they begin to prophesy, or they begin to proclaim, or they begin to do exploits. Why? Because they had a supernatural power working with them. And they were cooperating with God. So here he says that thy hand might be on me, and that thou shouldest keep me from evil. Now that's a pivotal point in honor, is to not walk in evil, in immorality, or anything that's not going to give glory to God, because that will short circuit your blessing and short circuit, because what it is walking in dishonor. It's a dishonor to God when evil or immorality comes into your life. So he says that thou would keep me from evil. You know, I like David. David, when temptation came to David, David just put his track shoes on and he started to run. He says, I'm out of here, because I'm not going to do anything that's going to bring a reproach to me towards my God. And then he goes on to say that it would not grieve me. In other words, that the evil that you know, to keep me from it, that it won't grieve me. So I won't be vexed. You know, it's a bad thing when you're always vexed, when something vexing or irritating you and agitating you. You can't really hear God properly when something is irritating and agitating you. And so even, you know, I'm even giving even like a headache. Is an irritation. You know, it's hard to concentrate. If you're reading a book or doing something and your head is pounding, it's an agitation. You know, he says here that you know, that evil would not grieve me, you know. And it said God grant him his request. Jabez's brothers were honorable, but the scripture says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers towards his mother. The scripture also tells us why his mother named him Jabez, you know, because he caused her much pain. But the key thing about it is he being honorable. And I want to point out the fact how important it is to walk in the spirit of honor, you know, towards people in general, towards your parents, towards your pastor, towards your spiritual father, towards the apostolic, you know, because as I stated earlier, what's on them now can come on you. And so the blessing that's on their life can be channeled down to your life. That's so very important. I always remember the fact whenever my kids would do something that I expected them to do and did something, you know, sometimes even above my expectation, it was easy for me to reach in my wallet or whatever I had in my hand to bless them with, because it was, how can I put it, was, you know, it made me feel good that, hey, they understand, they're getting it, and I want to reward them, I want to bless them. But when somebody walks in dishonor and disobedience, you know, your hand is pulled back because you can't bless disobedience. God will not bless disobedience, and God definitely will not bless dishonor. Let me move on. Instead of showing more honor to his mother, his brother showed honor, but Jabez showed more honor. And because of him being more honorable, he wasn't more honorable because he prayed more or because he did, you know, things more. He was more honorable because he took the time, you know, more time, more patience, more care, more love, more giving, more another aspect of honor is serving, you know, serving somebody, serving your pastor, serving your parents or caring for them or whatever it might be, you know, service. You know, one of the things we're going to be getting to real soon is some honor builders. And one of those builders is service, you know, always sticking with your assignment. You know, when you're called to do something in a ministry, you know, even on a job, you know, you want to do your assignment and do it with honor. Do it, you know, like it's, I'll never forget the first job I ever had. I was working at a chemical plant in Lake Charles. And my first assignment, it was a big tanker, had crude oil in it or some chemical in it. And this was before riding lawnmowers. This was before weed eaters. And because, you know, of the volatiles around, you didn't want no sparking equipment. So we had what they call swing blades, which was just a blade that you just cut the grass, you know, around something. And I remember them giving me a swing blade, cutting the grass around this tank. And there was this one guy who was, he was still in college. I had just got out of college and was looking to, you know, for steady employment. And he said, look, I'm going to go hide behind this tree. It's too hot to be doing this. And he said, come on with me. And I took one or two steps and something on the inside of me said, no, don't do that. You know, you're looking for something steady. And you hadn't been raised that way. And so I said, no, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to do the job that I've been instructed to do. And then all of a sudden, someone on the inside of me came up and said, if I'm going to be a grass cutter the rest of my life, I'm going to be the best grass cutter this company ever had. And it wasn't long, maybe a week later, got promoted to the warehouse, got promoted to this area, that area, you know, And in each stage of the process, you know, transferring from this job to another job, where because you operated in the spirit of excellence with honor, promotion always came. Promotion always came, you know, and that's so very important that, you know, in everything we do, you do with a spirit of excellence. You do because you're doing it not unto men. You're doing it unto God. God sees. The Bible says promotion doesn't come from the north. Promotion doesn't come from the south, the east, or the west. Promotion comes from God. God sees your heart, and he sees your labor of love. And you know, as I stated a couple of probably last, you know, you can't outbeat God's giving. When you get busy about doing God's business, you can't help but be blessed. Let me move on because my time is well spent. All right. We're going to kind of get off of Jabez for a minute because I think we've hit him strongly. But we're going to look at now someone who was a perfect example of honoring their father. We're going to be looking at Jesus as his example. But before that, I want to make this statement. If you sow a dishonor seed with all the anointing that you have, you cancel your ministry. You cancel it because dishonor breaks the generations, but sowing honor enlarges your coast. A lot of times people say, you might be highly anointed or highly talented, you know, can sing, play an instrument, really good with electronics or computers or whatever, with all the anointing, with all the gift that God might have placed upon you. But when you sow the seed of dishonor, it's going to cancel all of that. It's going to reduce it down to zero because it's not going to produce fruit. It can't produce fruit. All right, let's move on now. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 7. Hebrews chapter 10, actually verse 5. We're going to look at Jesus and his example of sowing honor to his father. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, it says, "Wherefore, when thou comest into the world," it's talking about Jesus, he said it, "sacrifices and offering thou wouldest not, but a body has thou prepared me." Verse 6, "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure." Verse 7, "Then said I, lo, I come." Now, this is Jesus. "In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God." That's Jesus. And this is prophetic here. You know, he says, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book to do your will." In other words, God, Father, I'm coming, you know, to do thy will. A body was prepared for me. Jesus, the Bible talks about how he be essentially one with God in heaven, seated on the right hand of the throne of God. But we know that he stepped down from his throne and he took upon himself flesh and blood. And he was born of I don't even like to use the word virgin because Mary was only virgin for so long. You know, but born of Mary in Bethlehem, and he became the savior of the world. And his sole purpose was to do the will of the Father. Nothing else. That was his mission. That was his assignment. You know, Jesus is really our perfect example of a man walking in complete honor and submission to his Father. You know, if you want an example, there's no greater example than Jesus, how he honored his father by fulfilling the will of the father. In verse 9 says, "Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God." In other words, I'm manifested in the flesh, Lord, because I want to do your will. God will always call you to a vision. You know, a vision is a redemptive plan of God. You know, when, you know, and that's why it's so very important to be connected to a church that has a vision and that the vision is going somewhere, you know, because it is a redemptive plan of God. And that vision will have your provision inside of it. As you listen to what I'm saying, as you walk and help your man of God, your pastor, your apostle fulfill the vision that God's called him to do, your provision is wrapped up inside the vision. You know, that's why I don't understand why people leave a vision that God called them to. You know, there were times I was offered jobs in other states. And I never forget, I've shared this before. You know, I mean, I was same company, even though I'm not working there anymore, thank God. I'm free. But I am. Thank God for it. Hallelujah. Oh, no man, nothing but to love him. After this meeting that I did a presentation to, I got offered a job, you know, in sales in another state. And the guy said, "No, give me a call." And I was all excited. But see, here's the natural. You know, you're looking at it from a monetary point of view. But then all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to my heart. He says, "I did not call you. He said, I could use you in my Kansas region in sales. He said, I didn't, and the Lord said, I didn't call you to Kansas. And then immediately he brought me back to Darrell, to the second church, which is, you know, in the city of Darrell. I was sitting 3/4 of the way back, my wife and I, we were there visiting, and we were there, you know, listening to the service. It was around Christmas time. It was between Christmas and New Year, I'll never forget. And the Lord spoke to my heart and says, this is where you need to be. And he's never, you know, one thing about God, he doesn't change his mind on what he tells you to do. He said, that's been 28, maybe 30 years ago, close to 30 years ago. This is where you need to be. And so immediately after I'm going back to my rental car and I'm hearing these words, this is, you know, I didn't call you to Darrell. And I mean, I didn't call you to Kansas. And then all of a sudden I was placed back, you know, in the church in the city of Darrell, right 2 miles down the street. You know, this is where you, and the Lord says, you know, there's a reason and there's a purpose for you to be. You know, I never saw myself doing what I'm doing. You know, I never saw myself, you know, working in a ministry to whatever capacity God has allowed me to. But it's you know, you honor when you start whatever your hands find to do, start doing it. You know, getting involved in something. You know, I think the first thing I got involved in was the sound ministry, working the sound booth. You know, back in the old church, I remember, you know, up high, you know, working the sound. And then whenever we would have a marriage seminar or some type of crusade, I would help set up the speakers and go early and help set up the decorations or whatever it took to get. And you just start, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, Apostle made it say, well, I'm starting my school of ministry. And then all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord tells you, you need to be in that school. And you resist. And the last day of registration, you just, you know, turn your application in because, you know, it's bugging you so much that I got to get rid of it, you know. And then you finish your 2 years and then you're not out of school a month. And all of a sudden the apostle calls you into prison ministry and on and on and on because it's a vision and it's assignment, you know, of, like I said, a vision is a redemptive plan of God, that he'll call you, he'll hook you to a vision, and that vision will bring provision. Everything you need is wrapped up. But see, that's honor. I don't want to get off track because I want to parallel how Jesus fulfilled his assignment. Let me move on. Okay, let's go now to John chapter 17. John 17, 1 through 6. I don't know if I'm going to read all the verses because of time. But in John chapter 17, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Jesus brought glory to the Father, because at that point, in John 17, that's I don't know if you're familiar with it, but that's Jesus' high priestly prayer, where he's praying, right before things were about to happen, before his crucifixion, and he says, Lord, he says, you know, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. In other words, Lord, you know, I know I got your glory, but I want what I'm doing to glorify you. Jesus brought glory to the Father when he went to the cross, because that was his purpose. You know, for this will was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And by doing that, by going to the cross and shedding his blood for the redemption of man, brought glory to God. Verse 2 says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he shall give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. Now, that's very important. Here Jesus said, Lord, I have finished the work. You know, I've done what you have called me to do. I have finished the work that you have called me to do. That's honor. You know, I've done the assignment. There's no greater joy when you've completed an assignment and you go and whoever gave you that assignment says, you know, I've completed that task. I've done it exactly. 5 minutes left. Ooh, I've done exactly what you have called me to do. Amen. The greatest seed that one can sow is an honor seed, and one way to show honor towards your spiritual father, your apostle, or your pastor is by walking in the revelation knowledge that he or she is releasing and having physical manifestation from the spiritual truths that your father has taught you, and you're passing those truths that you have learned on to others. There's no greater honor, you know, when what the apostle is teaching, you begin to now walk in it and begin to get the revelation of it and begin to see, you know, no, God truly and God's going to meet all of my needs. And now you begin to, because you've experienced it, now you can begin to teach others also. Because what you're doing now, going back to what I was saying, honor will grow the generations. Honor will cause the generations to prosper, because you're passing down what you've learned to another generation. Let me move on, because I'm probably inside 3 minutes. And we know in Philippians chapter 2 how because Jesus did the will of God and he humbled himself and became obedient to death, how God highly exalted him and had given him a name above every name. It was because Jesus had humbled himself to do the Father's will that caused God to exalt him. Humility isn't weakness. I said that before. Humility is really fulfilling, you know, when you walk in humility, you walk in fulfillment of your mission, of your calling, and you do it humbly. You're not being arrogant about it, but you know, humility is really walking in godly obedience. Let me move on. What we're going to be talking about in the next, I guess we have one more class session, one or two before the end of the year, is ways of building honor. One of the key ways to build honor is you have to walk in godly wisdom. You know, wisdom is the principal thing. In building honor, the first thing you must walk in is the spirit of wisdom. You have to walk in wisdom. Ask God, Lord, give me the wisdom, understanding, insight of what you desire for me to do. You know, because there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. The Bible says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. You want to make sure, and this is all about honor. Lord, let me, the only thing I want to do, Lord, is to please you. So give me the wisdom that I need, the insight that I need to fulfill my assignment, my mission, you know, man my post or whatever I need to do, because I always tell people you're more anointed doing what God's called you to do than any other time in your life. But when you get into that groove, into that vein, God is able to use you, and you can be a blessing, and you're bringing honor to your man of God, honor to your family, and you're being a blessing, and your generations will grow and prosper because of honor. Amen. All right, we're going to conclude for today. And we have, what, one more class before the end of the year? Anybody knows right offhand? This is the last week? Is it? Next week. I thought it was next week. I can check and see. Okay, I think it is next week. I want to make sure y'all come.